Let's say hello to the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Ryan Huska, who joins us here on Locker Cleanout Day. It's Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson, along with you as well. 82 games in the books, and Ryan's media availability in the books as well, and he joins us now exclusively in the Hot Stove Lounge. How is today for a coach? Like, we were just talking about, you know, from our standpoint, kind of like drinking through a fire hose. But what about for the head coach when it comes to these exit interviews and how today goes for you?
Yeah, it's a busier day, that's for sure. And it's one guy after the other that you're chatting with. And I'll bet some of it is brief when you have certain conversations. Some of them are longer, but there's a lot of conversations, and it just starts laying out expectations for what you're looking for out of them in the summer. But the part that I found this year, more so than I have in the past in my roles, is if you're doing this today, we didn't get the job done.
Right.
And you feel it a little bit more right now. So expectation is always to put the best team on the ice that we possibly can, play the hardest, but to make the playoffs. And when you come up short, you know, it's a little bit of disappointment in there for sure. And you're already trying to think about areas that we can be better and try to find ways that we'll make sure this won't happen again.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because the first thing that I have written down here is just how disappointing is a day like today? I mean, it's always, whether you are out in round one, round four, mm-hmm. like doing this day, not being the Stanley Cup champion is always going to be disappointing. But to do it on April 19th, is this one of those situations where you come in and that's kind of palatable in the conversations you're having?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's older guys that are competitive, and they know that their time is running out. I hate saying that because it sounds silly, but it's the reality. So they want to win, and they want to have an opportunity to play when the games matter. And the only way to do that is to make the playoffs. So it's hard on them. Young guys don't necessarily understand that yet, because they haven't really seen how quickly careers can go the other direction, where all of a sudden you don't have any time left. So every chance you get to play in the playoffs is something that you have to grab hold of. And for us as a staff, it's first go around for our current staff. And there's a lot of challenges and a lot of bumps along the way that we faced, but there is a lot of disappointment because you put a lot of time and effort into it. And when you don't see it come to fruition, the goals that you set up for yourself and your team, it's disappointing.
What can you take us behind the scenes, and obviously not the specific things that you're talking about, but what goes into an exit interview from a coaching standpoint? Like, what are some of the things that are discussed, and what are some of the constants in every conversation you're having with your guys?
For me, I always start with things I liked about their game, and like I said, some of the conversations are very brief, because it just gives us a starting point for what will continue over the course of the summer. But what I liked about their game, some of the things that I'd like to see them work on or think about over the course of the summer, then I like to get their opinion in a lot of ways as to what we could do better as a team, what I could do better as a coach. Those things matter, and our players are the ones that are out on the ice every day, and they're the ones that have to execute game plans. So we have to ask them and get their opinions on certain things. So that's what it really is about today, is starting that connection again for laying out your expectations over the summer and how you want them to come back. And in a lot of ways, it's making them understand that we don't want to be here again. We don't want to be sitting here at this time of year. And for the majority of them, that's the one thing that grabs them as well. They don't want to be there either.
Excuse me. When you talk about just sort of laying groundwork for conversations that will continue through the summer, has that part of coaching evolved over the years? Like, it used to feel on this day like it was everyone kind of waving, see you in September type thing. Has the through the summer contact and coaching changed at all?
I think I don't know what the NHL was like 15, 20 years ago, but I think it's changed in a really significant way, to the point where I'll have conversations with guys multiple times over the summer. Hopefully you get a chance to visit with some of them face-to-face. There's text messages that go back and forth. Our strength guys go out to see people. If our trainers, medical staff need to go see people, they go see people. It's different now, where it's year-long. So we try to respect their time away. They need a break. I mean, they hear from us a lot over the course of a season, the meetings and the individual meetings that guys have, the team meetings. They need a break. but at the same time, it's important that you keep that communication and that dialogue open. So if you were just to leave it and not speak to them at all over the course of the summer, and somebody comes back not the way you want them to, then that's on you as a staff. So that's something we don't want to happen. So we make sure we stay in touch with the guys. We make sure they understand what we're looking for out of them, and our strength and conditioning coaches monitor what they're doing. And that is all set up in a way that allows us to come back in great shape and ready to get out of the gates better than we did this year.
You and I have been in different rooms most of today. I was, you know, interviewing players in the mm-hmm. media lounge. You're doing exit meetings in your office or behind the scenes. But, you know, what struck me today in listening to the different players and especially the established guys is the sort of optimism. There's a positivity around here today that I've at least felt that you don't always get on exit day. Are you feeling that same thing?
Wes, I think I felt that the majority part of the year. And I go back to when we talked with the big group. The leadership group has done a really good job with that. And it leaves me feeling optimistic about it, too. So I keep going to those guys. If they're not involved, or if they're not a part of things, or they don't believe in what we're doing, it's not never going to take shape, or the team won't grab hold of it. If they are a big part of it, then they're going to pull people with them. The next big thing for me is belief. That what we're trying to do matters to them. It's belief in themselves and then belief in their teammates. And if you can get all that coming together, then you can do some great things. You just have to get in. And that's the real big thing for us, is to keep working on the belief, keep pushing our leadership group that what they're doing is correct and we're going in the right direction. Because I do think when you see signs like today, it's a terrible day. Like, we're out. But there's optimism. So that leads me to believe they're going to go away feeling like we can do this, and they're going to come back in the right mind frame to make sure we get off to that great start.
We're chatting with Ryan Huska, Flames head coach, here in the Hot Stove Lounge. You know, a lot was talked about in the final few weeks about and hearing from your leadership group about habits and setting standards and those types of things. What type of standards do you think have been set or put in place that you can carry over into next season with this group?
Well, there's a lot, and some of them are noticeable on the ice. Like, you always want to make sure, and I maybe that's what you respect most about our crowd last night. I thought there was a great energy even towards the end of the game where they were appreciative of the effort. So that's first and foremost. That has to be there all the time. And that really, at the end of the day, is all people want to see. Your teammates, from the management, from the coaches, from the people that are watching the stands, for you guys that cover our team, if they work their you-know-whats off, then people will say, okay, they didn't have the result tonight, but I'm not faulting that effort. That's number one for us. So I think that they, in a situation where there was nothing for them to play for, more often than not, they had effort. There was a few games over the stretch where we didn't like it, and we worked to address it, and they responded. And that's a big part of it, because it's easy to say, nah, we're done at this point, but they mm-hmm. didn't. So that's number one for me. And if they can continue to do that and hold themselves accountable to that, then it makes our job a little bit easier as a coaching staff to make sure we get that out of them again for next year. So a lot of it comes down to their habits, their effort, and then it's, like I said earlier with one other comment, it's really reinforcing the belief in what we're doing and what they're capable of doing.
You talked when you spoke to the larger group about, you know, the start and how that put you behind the eight ball. Now that you've had a number of months to reflect, how come the start wasn't how your group wanted it to be? Why didn't you get out the gates the way that you would have liked?
I think there's a couple reasons for that. Looking back at it now, and again, I'll look further back at it in a few days and the weeks coming up, but we made a pretty significant change to the style that we played in our own zone, and I think I underestimated how long it would take them to get a grasp on it. So after we didn't have a lot of success with it, we really dug into it as a staff, and we found out what were the most important parts to really hammer on. So we made sure the players understood that. And once they got a handle on it, I think we got much better from that point. So that was the biggest thing. And then when, as much as I try to stay even keel for me as a head coach too, there's certain situations when you're in a stretch, like you're 2-7-1, you know, I feel it. And I think sometimes as a first-year coach, that's probably natural. Now that I've been through that experience, I know I'll be able to handle it better. So a lot of the lessons that you're given or taught along the way will make you better down the road. So for me, that holds true, and I know it'll be the same for our players. But I like the fact that now there is really no question on how we play. Mm-hmm. There's no wondering, should I be in this situation or where should I be on the ice to cover this guy? They know it. Now it's just about executing it and making sure we do it a little bit quicker.
And now that you have gone through it and the roster is set and all of the uncertainty is behind you. I mean, I can't imagine, we talked about this before when talking about Craig's job. I can't imagine a first-time head coach having that much uncertainty hanging over the roster as you went through a season. And I know that it was your group did a great job of blocking those distractions out, and you spoke at length about that throughout the season. But now looking back, how much of an impact did that uncertainty have? How much of an impact could that have had just in the overall mindset of the group?
Yeah, I don't really know how to answer that. I mean, there was a lot of noise, but you know, you're professional players. And that comes with the territory. So you have to learn how to handle that and still perform at your very best. And a lot of nights we did that. There was two nights that I didn't like how we handled it. The Carolina game and then coming back home to play Colorado here. Those were nights where I don't think we handled it very well after the trade deadline. It was almost like, wow, we're not going to be in a position to compete anymore. And that's garbage. So that's what you have to push out. And that's where I go to belief and make sure that you'll never get yourself to that position. So it's those things you find as you go through it, there's different things that test you and challenge you, but you learn as a team, and I think it makes you stronger as you move forward.
Did you prepare yourself for those challenges coming in? Like, were you kind of steeling yourself for, hey, this might be something that plays into the narrative of our team this year?
For sure. And you try to prepare for everything that's coming down the pipe. And then I think that's why you can almost stay ahead of it a little bit. And you can almost get the guys ready for what's coming without letting them know what's coming. So you can deal with it and try to cut some things off right away before they start to fester. And I think that's like anything that comes into a team sport. As soon as there starts to be something percolating, you got to snuff it out. Otherwise, it takes over. Like, the guys they're no different than any other minor hockey group or a girls team. It's all the same. If you let something fester, it bothers them, and they talk about it, and it takes over. So you have to address it right away. And I think that's why the leadership group, as I mentioned, Michael was very good at that this year, that as soon as something looked like it was maybe coming to the surface, he grabbed hold of it and said, hey, we're not doing that. It's not the way we're going to approach this. So that's why I'm so proud of him and the job that he did, pulling people with him, and then the support that, you know, Blake gave him, Mackenzie gave him, Naz gave him, all the other older guys that came to help him. Like, it's an important thing for me, and I think it's going to go a long way for the maturing of our group as we move forward.
I'm sure I'm going to be asking you to repeat, you know, part of what you've told us already, but I'm curious, you know, Derek Wills was sitting here yesterday and him, Pat, and I were having a roundtable discussion. And one of our topics was, what was the most encouraging or positive development for the Flames this season? With you now joining us, I'm curious, what would you pinpoint as the most encouraging or positive to come out of 23-24?
Yeah, I think there's three things. Well, two for sure. I like the emergence of the young guys. I think that's a real important thing, that you have new blood and new energy around the room and guys that feel like they can contribute. So that's number one for me. Number two is the emergence of a leadership group that feels like we can make a difference. We're not just people that have a letter on our chest or someone that gets spoken to in the media after a game. We have responsibility, and they're now guys that take a lot of pride in it. So that's important for me. And the second thing that I did like about our group, with the exception of a few games that, you know, is something that we're going to have to work on over the summer, making sure we're better, whether it's better prepared or if I change my approach with the team, we worked hard as a team. Like I said, there was a few nights, you know, against Columbus, Chicago, there's a St. Louis game early in the year. There's a few nights like those where I was disappointed with the way we worked, but that was, you know, rare. And I felt like the guys were committed to doing their very best every night and playing hard, you know, for each other, and that's what matters for me. And I think that is foundation that has to be there, and I think we saw that this year.
How many nights into an off season is it before a coach wakes up and is scribbling line combos or thinking, I should have said this, or
I don't know. I have a pad beside my bed. I'm going to try to put it away for a while, like at least a couple days. I'm going to watch some hockey, but I'm going to try to put that notepad away for a few days, and then you get back into the rink. I think you find that taking a couple days away just to clear your head kind of reinvigorates you a little bit, and then you can, the games that you're watching, you can pick some different things out of and say, does that work for us? Can we incorporate that into our game? Maybe when you see someone play, there's a combination of a certain player and a different team. Well, maybe if I put these two guys together in our team, maybe that's like a Kadri Pospisil thing. Maybe we can find that. So I don't think you lose it. I think it stays with you. I'm just going to try to have a couple days where I don't use that pad quite as much.
I was going to say, is there a chance when you get home someone's put the pad away for you for a couple days?
I don't know. I don't know. If it would be my son, if anybody, probably. But
we're chatting with Ryan Huska, Flames head coach, here on Flames Talk. Are you one of those people that kind of self-evaluates pretty hard? Like, will you evaluate year one as a head coach and kind of go through a checklist of, hey, I don't like how I did this, or I thought this was something that really worked? How much will you kind of self-critique and self-evaluate year one as a head coach?
A lot. That's the way I am, and maybe too much at times. But I think there's certain situations that you have to learn from, whether that's a dealing with the player that I thought I was going about it the right way, and in having a conversation with that player a month down the road, they still remember it as something that, you know, it didn't sit well with them. So my approach in that situation was wrong. Maybe who I put on the ice in a certain situation. You go back and look at all that stuff, and you have to try to find a way to make yourself better. And I think reflection is a big part of that. So it's a coach's responsibility. We ask the players to hold themselves accountable after games. Coaches have to do the same things. And sometimes you need to hear the feedback from your players. And I appreciate the honest and openness that we have from our guys. They're really good with that. And you have to look to make yourself better. And no different than a player. If you're just standing still and not doing anything right to change, people pass you by. And our team will be behind and will lag. And I won't be in this chair for very much longer. And I don't want any part of that. So I believe it's important that you have to put the time and work in and really do a lot of reflection, I think, and then making sure you're finding different ways to make yourself better and make the team better. And that's so important as you move forward.
We always ask players, like, hey, what area did you feel like you really needed to work on, or what will you be working on going into the summer? Is there anything in particular that really stands out for you as a coach in that regard?
One thing that I can share with you, I have a hard time letting things go, and I carry things with me, and then all of a sudden it affects your sleep. It affects all the other things that come away from the game, which directly affect the game. So learning how to handle the tougher times better, and instead of being on that up and down roller coaster a little bit, you know, I feel like there's times where I don't let it go, and I just, it eats me, and then I'm not sleeping. You get into those stretches as a coach, and I think the more you're into it, the better you are equipped to handle it, because those are situations that you've been in before. And I think when you're a junior coach, you have the same emotions, same feelings, and then you become more equipped to handle it. When you move on to the American League, first time coaching professional hockey, there's certain situations where you now learn how to handle and you deal with it much better. It's no different than now for me. So it's just a matter of making sure that I continue to grow, like I said, and figure out the best approach in those times.
Is that almost a bigger challenge as a head coach? And what I'm thinking of as I ask this, your captain, Michael Backlund, said, you know, there were times early in the year I sort of had to remember I can't fix all this myself. Like, I still have to focus on my game. Do you, that challenge that you're talking about, not maybe carrying it with you, is that more difficult now as a head coach?
I think so, for sure, because that everything directly falls now on you.
Right.
You know, it's no different from a captain. And when you look at Michael, I thought he had an excellent year this year. The last 8 to 10 games, he was a little bit quieter. But I think that is a direct result of, like, all the extra pressure he put on himself to make sure he was fixing everything at the beginning of the year. It takes a lot out of you. And now he's going to be so much better for it because he's gone through it this year that I think he's just going to be wonderful again next year. And he's going to be a driver for our team. But yeah, it's no different than any other job. You have your times where things are going well, times where things are a struggle. You just have to be able to handle those and make sure the next day that you come to the rink is the best day ever.
What about the other side, though? And I know that results-wise you're not where you want to be, yeah. But what about things that you or something that you could be proud of or things that you come away saying, yeah, you know what, that's something that did work and I want to make sure that I build on that and carry that forward?
I feel like our team was prepared every night. So, and that's something that I learned from the prior coaches that I had a chance to work with, and that's where you get your experience. So everybody, those coaches, that we all know who I'm talking about, but from Bill to Jeff to Daryl, they all brought different things to the table. But the preparation is such an important thing that you have to give your players what they need to allow them to have success. Then it's a little bit on them to make sure they do it the right way. Now it's about finding different ways to get that message across. So we're the same every night, no matter who opponent is. So we have our challenges over the course of the summer that our staff's going to have to work on and find new approaches and new ways to do things. No different than the players would when they're out on the ice working on their skills or in the gym working on their conditioning. All that stuff is the same for coaching staff, and it's things that we have to go over together and as individuals.
Your first time as an NHL head coach, Craig's first time as an NHL GM, what did the two of you learn in terms of working with one another? Because, you know, you knew each other, you were both part of this team your entire tenure here, but now you're working in the two big jobs. What's that like, working with a general manager for the first time?
I think Craig, for a first-year head coach, and this is, let's not even pretend he's a first-year general manager, he was probably the best thing for me because he sheltered me from a lot of stuff. So he took on a lot of stuff that he didn't even bring to my attention. And when you have a GM that has a good understanding of what we need to talk about, what we don't need to talk about, when we were 2-7-1, it was nothing but support, and those are tough times. But when you know you have someone that's in your corner, and you are comfortable talking with and going to every day, it makes a first-year head coach his job that much easier. And Craig is a very passionate man, and I think when he talks, what he talks about, he wants to see happen. He's very truthful. He wanted to see a bit of a youth movement coming in this year, so we did I feel like we did a good job of working together and incorporating these guys into our lineup to the point where now we have some younger guys that are capable of playing NHL players. We need to see them take steps now, as we mm-hmm. talked about, but a lot of that comes from Craig. So good conversation with him, and as I said, I think the biggest thing for me was he found a way to, you know, push away the stuff that didn't matter with me and work with me on the stuff that did.
And I know you felt very similar about your leadership group, right?
Blake, totally.
Michael, McKenzie, like just that group and what they did for you as a first-year head coach.
Yeah, and for, hey, if our message to the team, we leave the room, if those guys aren't pushing it, that message doesn't get heard. And there was times where we had some harder leadership meetings with them, and the thing that you always look for as a coach is how they respond. And every time we had one of those, the response from those guys, and I remember Knights talking to you guys after the game, they were our best players on the ice. And there was questions about, yeah. Are you surprised that they showed up? And my answer was always, no, not really. And that's what leads me to be even more optimistic because of situations like that where they've been challenged. How do they respond? They can either go one way or the other, and they chose to go the right way. And that's what I like, and that's what leaves me feeling good.
Last one. How close do you feel this group is to being where you want them to be, where you think they can be? Like, how close do you see it if you were to bring back the exact same group for next season?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And I'll start by saying expectations are always to make playoffs, and they will continue to be. And I will sit here and say I feel like this group is close because of these reasons. Early in the year this year, our power play did not perform. It cost us games more often than not. So if you look at the situations that we were in earlier in the year, there's potentially 5 to 6 games where that could have been the difference for us. That's a lot of points. There's situations where we can change and adjust our approach in regards to how we give chances or scoring opportunities up. So I felt too many times this year we gave opponents goals. we reduce that, you're in a different situation. You're playing in 3-2 games, then the power play scores, and it's 4-2. So when you look at it that way, 8 to 10 more points, we're in a different position where we're pushing. So you're not that far off. So now it becomes, we need growth from our older players to make sure that they don't leave here and think they don't have to put the time or effort into making themselves better. We need them to come back with the mentality that I have to earn it. So that should go into their training. And the young guys have to do the exact same thing, because if they don't come back with that mindset, then it'll be a tough start for them. So I don't feel like we're far off. We need the growth, yes, and we need to make a couple adjustments with how we play in certain situations. And if we can get ourselves on our roll and we really believe and really hammer on the group about the importance of belief in everything that we're doing, I don't feel we're far off.
Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for everything, all season, Coach. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Like I mentioned earlier, Pat, with you, like I enjoy these conversations, and I've learned over the year, it's a lot talking to you guys all the time. But I have to say that there's so much respect, and you guys, you cover our team so very well, honestly, that it's very much appreciated from our office as well. So thank you, guys.